Hi, Dave.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Dave. Do we curse on this podcast?
Yes, Eric. Yes, we do.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in Collecting.
Where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls.
Along with our journeys as collectors. Hi guys, Eric here. Welcome to the next episode of Adventures in Collecting. Today's episode's another special one. We have an interview. A few months ago, I was able to sit down with a friend of the pod and an incredible customizer, Ryan Popplestone. You might know him as @WeaponXCustoms on Instagram. He does incredible work. And I'm so excited to share this interview with you guys. So without further ado, enjoy. Here's the interview. Welcome to the pod, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's really awesome to be here, and I love your guys' show. I really enjoyed last interview with Heather. So yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. So we were just chatting before we pressed record, and I absolutely love what you're doing. We'll get into the whole customizing thing and how you started doing it and everything in a minute. But sure. For those that are familiar with the podcast, one of the things that we like to talk about first and foremost is just kind of what we're picking up, what's interesting us. So tell me a little bit about what you're buying. What are you collecting?
Well, some of my recent pickups, I really love that new Power Rangers Lightning collection. So I've been trying to scoop up as much of the original Mighty Morphin figures as I can. So I recently got that Pink Ranger. Really, really excited about that Mandalorian show. So I actually just got my carbonized Black Series Mandalorian figure in the mail yesterday. And in terms of Marvel Legends, really, really excited about that Jean Grey 3-pack that's coming out, as well as the Havoc and Polaris 2-pack. Just being a 90s kid and growing up on the X-Men, those are must-gets for me. So really excited to finally get those in my hands.
Yeah, that Love Triangle 3-pack is really awesome.
Yeah, it's that Jean Grey is just a work of art. I can't wait to get that. And I was so disappointed with the Rocket Raccoon Wave figure, and I just can't wait, man. And the Wolverine is such an upgrade on the previous one from the Apocalypse Wave, so it's pretty cool.
Very, very cool. So speaking of Marvel Legends, that's pretty much what I'm seeing on your Instagram when you're posting the things that you're working on, and as far as the customizations go. So why? I mean, do you work in that format just out of a love for the format, or is it more, just kind of your wheelhouse being Marvel?
I think it's probably just with Marvel being my wheelhouse. I am not a really big DC guy. I'll watch the movies. I really like the animated series movies and that kind of stuff, but I don't have anywhere near the kind of in-depth knowledge of DC as what I do Marvel. So I love the Marvel Legends. They're affordable. They're a lot of fun to work with. And there's, like I said, there's just so many different characters, so many different character designs. You could have one character with 20 different designs and all of them look really great. So I think it just has to do with me loving Marvel as much as I do.
So with the Marvel stuff, when you're working on a new character, especially one that maybe, Hasbro has not even touched, maybe it's been a while since the character's been approached. What goes into the design? Like, how do you tackle it?
Well, for me personally, I try not to do existing characters. So part of why I customize is to create characters that I don't have sitting on my shelf. So I get people that will ask me to do an existing character. And for me, it's just, there's nothing about that inspires me, that excites me. I don't want to do a character that a Hasbro designer has already done. So I try to kind of gear myself towards designs and characters that have not been touched yet.
So at the time of this recording, we're October 29th, so we're a couple days away from Halloween. I was just looking at your Instagram feed, and it looks like you put the finishing touches on the that Legion figure that you were working on.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that figure, because looking at it, I cannot for the life of me figure out what you used as a base for it. And B, like, it's such a wild final product that, I just want to hear more about it.
So that one is actually a commission for a good buddy of mine. And one of the things that I really enjoy about taking commissions is I try to make it an immersive experience for the customer in that I try to have them, it kind of sounds cheap, but I almost try to have them design the custom for me, and then I try to make that come to life. At the end of the day, I'm trying to make them happy. They're buying a product from me, so I want it to be exactly what they want. So he's the one that told me he wanted it to use the Cletus Cassidy head. He wanted it to be on the multiple man body with the jacket. And outside of that, I got a lot of creative freedom to just kind of create what I wanted to create, like with the eyepiece, like with how the hair looked. But yeah, that was a really, really fun custom to make. It was actually a really simple design. The most complicated part was just figuring out that damn hair, which hair is always not fun to sculpt. But I'm really happy with how it turned out, and so was he. So that's the important part.
So speaking of the sculpting process, and I know you post pictures along the way and kind of have these progress things.
Yeah.
Are you working primarily with like clay sculpting? Are you doing any 3D printing, 3D modeling, anything like that?
I don't have any access to 3D printing personally, but I recently partnered up with a guy named Destroy All Cosplay on Instagram, and he's actually going to be helping me out in terms of pumping out unique head sculpts for me that would otherwise take me a really long time to sculpt. Like I don't know if you saw the Maker head sculpt that I've been advertising for the last couple of weeks. I used to sculpt that one myself, and it would take me about a week. He was able to design that and print it in 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours. So it cuts down on the work time for me. If I can pay him and he's happy, then I'm happy, and it works out in the end. So really gotten into kind of relying on him for the 3D print technology, but I'll sculpt if I have to do the hair, things like that, that would be really tough to print on a 3D printer.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I remember when 3D printers started to become kind of a little more accessible. So in some places, like, you can access a 3D printer at like a public library. Unfortunately, yeah, Not anywhere near me. But the first thing that I thought of when I saw that was just like, oh man, all of the toys that I have over the years. So outside of Marvel Legends, I'm a big 3 3/4 scale Star Wars collector.
Okay.
And I started buying those toys when, you know, well, I shouldn't say I started buying them. They were given to me as gifts when I was a child, you know, and I have since continued collecting them. But a lot of those early ones I played with, and yeah, you know, the blasters, the lightsabers, the pieces of X-wings, you know, those things have, you know, they're lost to the annals of time.
Yeah.
And with a 3D printer, you know, rather than going aftermarket on eBay and or having to buy a whole new X-wing because I need one, you know, cannon from it, you can 3D print. And I started thinking too, you know, in terms of customizers out there, that rather than sculpting these heads out of resin or, you know, whatever clay material you're using, the 3D printer's got to be a good friend.
It's some of these guys can absolutely, like, they're just printing money. You can print a head sculpt and they're charging $40 to $60 a piece. They're just printing money for themselves. And I don't know if you saw the I think it was a preview shot from London Comic Con this weekend or whatever it was, but NECA had a preview of Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in that big mechanized suit, I don't know what it's called, that he wears, but they had it all in 3D print form, so it was actually still sitting on the little pieces of like the little pillars that 3D print stuff creates to stabilize things. It was still sitting on that, and it was still in pieces as it was printed on their 3D printer. So some of these big time companies like NECA, that's how they're creating these things. And you're starting to see it more and more in the community, where, you know, customizers are printing off elbows or swivel joints or feet or things beyond just heads, so they don't have to go and buy 20 of the same character just for one figure piece.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean that's huge, and especially with the way that some of these characters are packaged. So like the Danny Moonstar that's out there right now, the Walgreens one, I know a lot of people want, you know, 4 of her, you know, mm-hmm. so that way they can utilize all the extra heads. And then, you know, now you're stuck with all these extra bodies, but, you know, in the aftermarket or you know, the customizer world, you know, maybe you don't need to do that. Maybe there is an alternative. And that actually, you know, brings up kind of a point of contention, right? So people who collect, I feel like there are two very different type of people that collect. There are the people that will get the thing that they want in any way that they can do it. So, you know, and I put myself in that category because I'm staring at my Mark 80 Iron Man with a custom head that I got on it because I could not find the Robert Downey Jr. head from that Marvel, you know, the 10-year anniversary of Iron Man 2-pack. And to be honest, that head wasn't really that great. You know, the ones that are small. Yeah, it was before they really started doing that 3D modeling and, I found a custom one out there. I had to pay a little bit more than, the cost of a figure for it. I think I ended up paying like $35 or something for it.
Yeah.
But it looks fantastic. And it looks, sure, it's not an official Hasbro Marvel Legends product, but looking at it on the shelf with the rest of them, it looks great. So you have that type of collector. And then you have the other type of collector, right? The people that, if it is not official product, if it's not licensed, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I have to imagine that makes your position a little challenging sometimes.
Not necessarily, because a lot of those guys, they don't really go out of their way to disparage the custom community. It's more or less, it exists. They scroll by the posts when they see them, but I personally don't get a lot of flack from people that are sitting there going, hey, you're tarnishing the customer, you're tarnishing the figures by making what you do. It's an abomination on my collection. I personally have never experienced that. So, I don't know. It's the what I deal with is those guys that they want to live and die on that $19.99 hill. It's, I don't want to pay above retail whatsoever. I won't get the figure until I get it for $20. And then all they do is they complain online that they can't find that figure. Collecting is interesting. It's not always the most fun, especially dealing with certain types of collectors, but this is something that dates back to our childhood. It's something we're passionate about, right? So you got to understand that at the end of the day.
Yep. And you have additional challenges too, because you're based out of Canada, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the standard retail price for a Marvel Legend in your region is more than it is in the United States.
Yes. We pay about $30 a figure. Depending on, especially with the exclusives. I think exclusives are up to $40 Canadian now. And the closest GameStop to me is about 30 or 40 minute drive one way. So you factor in the gas, the time, and figures are costing about $50 a piece at that point.
Yikes.
But with that being said, we get certain exclusives that you guys don't get down there. So the Dani Moonstar, she popped up at the GameStops in Canada, which means I can pre-order her, which means I don't have to go through the stress that you see all these Americans going through of, I drove 100 miles today going to 11 Walgreens and I didn't find a single one. This is frustrating. I didn't have that problem. I pre-ordered a case, walked in, picked it up, came home.
And you guys still have Toys R Us too, which is huge.
We do, yeah. And they're pretty inconsistent. They'll sometimes have some good stock, sometimes they won't. It all depends on kind of which area of the country you're in. But, I don't shop a whole lot outside of my GameStop. My store takes really good care of me just because of the amount of money we spend there. But I have yet to miss a figure release. I have yet to miss an exclusive. They, like I said, they take care of me.
That's awesome. That's a good connection to have for sure.
Yeah, we really get along with them, and we're not the kind of customers that when they don't have what we want, we're going to throw a temper tantrum. And we've seen it happen while we're in store. So just treat your retail people nice out there. It's not their fault if they don't have a figure. Don't yell at that guy making $10 an hour part time.
That is a solid point to make.
you catch more flies with honey.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I think if you're an active collector in any time in the last 5-10 years, you've definitely experienced some sort of meltdown, whether it's standing in line before your local Target store opens for the random pop that's being released, and you walk in and Target's only like one per customer, and somebody has a meltdown. Having a meltdown's not going to get you an extra figure. It's just going to get you likely kicked out of the store. So
exactly, it's toxic collectors are the worst for that. They put a bad name on a lot of us, and like I said, just be nice to the retail employees. They're eventually going to realize, hey, this guy's pretty nice to me. I'm going to go that extra mile for him. I'm going to go and check in the back for him and actually check, not just stand there for 30 seconds on my phone or something. So just remember that retail employee isn't the one that's keeping you from getting your toy. It's not deliberate, malicious intent.
So we talked, enough about the toxic collectors. Let's leave them in the dust where they belong, right?
Yeah.
The good guys, the guys that are, that are like us, they're having a good time. They're reaching out to you for these commissions.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite commission so far that you've been asked to make?
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. Probably the Legion, just because it's the one that's sitting on my workbench and most of my commissions have been mailed off. I really enjoyed, there was a Wolverine that I did in a red suit. That was, a guy messaged me and he said, hey, I used to have this Wolverine toy when I was a kid. It came out in 1992. That toy is super sentimental to me. Could you update it for me? I want it in Marvel Legends format. And stuff like that. And then the messages that you get when they receive it in hand and you get to read the posts where they're absolutely gushing over it. Like that stuff is the best. And I love dealing with those kind of people. And I've been really lucky in that I've got even people that don't buy commissions from me. I get a lot of people that they'll message me for a commission. And then that has turned into just making a really good friend and a lot of good conversation with them. I really enjoy conversing with, feels weird to say, but my fans, so to speak.
Hey, no. And listen, you're talking to one right now, because, like, you know, full disclosure, you know, I know this term is usually used in a much more salacious conversation, but I totally slipped right into your DMs and was just like, hey, you know, we're starting this podcast. And I actually I spoke to you before we had even begun recording episodes.
Oh, wow. I was like, listen,
I love what you're doing. You know, it's very clear that every single one of these is a labor of love, and you know, the way that you photograph them, the quality that's going into them. I mean, some of them look like the Hasbro test models. So, like at New York Comic Con. Oh no, thank you. I mean, you're welcome. You're seriously, it really is cool what you're doing, and when at New York Comic Con, Marvel had a live stream on YouTube, and they had a couple of the Hasbro guys there presenting some new Marvel Legends. It's when they revealed the new Fantastic Four wave and stuff like that.
Okay.
They pulled out a test print, like a test figure for, it was an X-Force member. I can't remember the name, Sunspot.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, Weapon X's stuff looks better. Like, I'm just kind of saying it underneath my breath, but like, you know, it's
that, man.
And it makes me wonder if there is a channel or a route for somebody like you to, you know, kind of get discovered, you know, by Hasbro, you know, and is that something that you like, is that like one of your goals? Is that something that you're looking to achieve by doing this? Or is it really just to kind of serve the customization community?
Hey, if Hasbro's out there listening and you guys want to put food on my plate and, you know, pay me to do this kind of stuff, absolutely. You know, I appreciate you saying that my stuff looks just as good as the Hasbro product, if not better. I mean, that's the style that I kind of tailor myself for. Every customizer's got a different style. You've got these guys that want to be hyper-realistic. I want my stuff to look just like the Hasbro stuff on the shelf. So thank you for that.
Ah, no problem. Hasbro, if you're listening, Ryan, he knows what he's doing. Look at his stuff.
I know that Hasbro sometimes has taken inspiration from the custom community. I can't think of any specific examples right now off the top of my head, but I know just in kind of speaking with other customizers that there have been times I know that Hasbro employees lurk the Facebook posts and the Facebook groups for Marvel Legends and stuff. So,
yep, I've also heard the subreddit, the subreddits in the Reddit community. Yeah. There are corporate lurkers in there. So
yeah, oh, absolutely. And you know, at the end of the day, there's some customizers that don't like that Hasbro can do that. But at the end of the day, if they don't do Legends, I don't have a canvas to work on. So if they're going to take one of my ideas, I'll consider it flattery and I'll move on. But I know that they do take a lot of inspiration from within the custom community, and there have been a couple of times where they've kind of outright said, "Yeah, we're taking that."
So speaking of canvas, you know, their product is your canvas.
Yep.
And, you know, if you can't get a canvas to work on, you can't make a custom. So what has been so far, you know, and I know you haven't been doing this too long. It's been less than a year. But in that time, what's been the most difficult piece to get to finish a figure?
I have been really lucky in that I've never had a parts hang up for any of the jobs that I've had to do. I kind of have a really big surplus of extra figures that I can draw upon. And usually commissions will supply the figure just to kind of take away from the cost. So yeah, that's not really a problem that I've had to deal with. I've never been able to say, I can't finish this custom just because I don't have this part. Usually I can sculpt it or supplement it with another piece.
Problem solving.
Exactly. It's the Bob Ross stuff. It's a happy accident.
Yeah, instead of a happy trees, it's like happy hand sculpts.
Exactly. You gotta improvise a little bit, and you gotta find a way to make it work. And usually the stuff is pretty forgiving. You can usually tell the type of customizers that they have no problem going back and spending the 4 hours fixing something versus the customizers that say, you know what, I'll pump it out anyway.
So what's been, is there a particular character or a particular, a particular character that you've been thinking about that like you'd love to make?
Well, part of me wanting to do customs was, I don't know if you're familiar with the Uncanny X-Force Dark Angel saga.
Not particularly, but...
Okay, well, just to kind of give you a quick rundown. Essentially what it is they kill Kid Apocalypse. And because of that, because Archangel has the Apocalypse Ascension gene inside of him, he starts to kind of go crazy, and they get Dark Beast, and he says, oh, you guys have killed Apocalypse. That's why this is happening to him. He's becoming the new Archangel, or the new Apocalypse. I absolutely loved that character design, and it was part of what inspired me to become a customizer. So I've got that one sitting on my workbench. He's half finished. I haven't finished him yet, but he's been my favorite one to work on just because he's the one that excites me the most.
That's awesome. I the name at first didn't ring a bell, but as soon as you started recapping the story, I was recalling it. Yeah, that is a really cool design.
It looks so good. If you haven't read, or if you're listening and you haven't read it, it's one of the best X-Men stories that you're going to read. I'm pretty biased. I love it, but I'm beyond excited to finish that Archangel. I just need to find someone that can help me with 3D printing those wings.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge.
just a bit, yeah.
Speaking of X-Men and the new X-Men stories, I saw that you were also making the new Professor X from the House of X books.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Destroy All Cosplay, as I told you earlier, that figure is actually how I got into connection with him, because I saw he had made that head, he designed it, and he printed it. I messaged him and I said, how much? And that was what kind of started us off on the path to becoming friends, and now kind of working together on some different projects that we got. But he sent me that head. I did it up as quickly as I could, because I'm just absolutely in love with the House of X series and that Professor X design. And I've been pretty happy with the reception I've gotten to it so far.
Yeah, and I love to hear that stuff too. I mean, especially when you're living online and you're, you know, in and out of all of these various, you know, forums for toy collectors and everything. Yeah. It is so cool to hear that, like, the customizing community isn't worried about like cannibalization. Like, they're like, you know, that you found a guy that's willing to help you, and it's so cool to hear that stuff.
It's because we don't talk about it. We're very secretive about it. there's probably about 4 or 5 group message chats where it's just different customizers going, oh, I think this guy took my idea. Oh, I think this guy did this. I didn't get any credit for it. So we do it behind the scenes where people can't see it.
Okay. Well, now the secret's out. Exactly, I hope you don't get kicked out of the club.
Oh. You know what? It's not going to stop me from painting toys, though.
So, speaking of other things that are happening, I feel like I need to congratulate you. You're a new dad.
I am. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And how has that been for you?
Well, I'm about as useful as a rubber beak on a woodpecker. She wants mom for everything.
Yeah. So I have a 4-year-old. I remember, you know, it like it was yesterday. And they'll go through phases. So, you know, she'll have a mom phase, but trust me, she'll eventually have a dad phase.
Well, it's not so much that it's a mom phase, so much as it's just my wife's body can do things that mine can't, and those are things that baby wants right now. So it's not so much that she prefers my wife. It's more or less get out of here so that I can get that food that I want.
Yeah. Yep. Accurate.
But eventually, I'll be able to give her peas and stuff like that, and she'll be able to spend time with dad on a more consistent basis. So I'm excited for that. But fatherhood has been awesome right now. Even those moments at 3 a.m. where you're sitting there huddled in a corner, holding her, rocking back and forth, going, "It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay." It's all been awesome. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. And honestly, it's gonna be. I can only imagine. You know, as she grows up, and you know, you continue to work with toys and, you know, getting her involved and stuff. I mean, that was one of my favorite things about kind of playing with my daughter is, you know, she knows that like there's daddy's toys and then there's her toys. Yep. But, and we play with them differently. So like when she comes up and I'm, you know, resetting up, you know, one of my Star Wars displays or my Marvel Legends display, she likes to look at all the extra pieces and, you know, she'll take like Black Panther and she'll pop his head on and off and, you know, see what he's the mask. So like there's, it's just so cool to be experiencing with that with, you know, with your kid. And I really can't wait for you to get to that point. Like, I know like you wanted to take your time and you don't want them to grow up too fast, but they hit a point where you're like, okay, you can stay like this forever now.
Yeah.
Well, so that way we can play.
My wife and I are both pretty nerdy. She's all about Star Wars and she's got a big pop collection of Disney princesses. So we're both sitting there going, we hope she's a bit nerdy. We hope she's a bit nerdy. We hope she's either into Star Wars or Marvel or at least something. Give us something.
You know, my wife and I had that conversation with, you know, with each other, with our daughter. And it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, she grew up in a house where everybody watched Star Trek and Doctor Who and, you know, and were big like literature nerds. So it rubbed right off on her. And, you know, my house, my brother, you know, the co-host of this podcast, you know, he's 7 years older than I am. So I grew up playing with all of his Ninja Turtles and Masters of the Universe and Star Wars and all that stuff. So it's one of those things where if it's around, the likelihood is that it's going to happen. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Yes. So, listen, this has been really great. I'm so happy to have had you on the podcast and, you know, to introduce you hopefully to a larger audience where, you know, you're beating away the commissions that are coming at you, because I really love, like I said multiple times, I love the work that you do. You're doing great stuff. Is there anything in terms of the timing of this recording? I'm not entirely sure when this episode is going to air. It's going to air sometime in the next couple months.
Okay.
Is there anything that you want the audience to know, anywhere that, you know, where can we find you? First of all, I guess that's a good place to start. And is there anything else that you'd like them to know?
Well, you can find me Weapon X Customs on Facebook, Instagram, Reddit. I think I'm on Figure Realm as well. If you want to get in contact with me, I'd suggest doing it on Instagram or Facebook. And I guess the biggest thing is just don't be afraid to reach out to me. Some of the best friends that I've made in this community are people that just message me saying, how do I do this or how do I do that? And just don't be afraid to send a message, because some people can be intimidated to message us sometimes for whatever reason.
Well, listen, Ryan, thank you again so much for taking time out of your day to come on the podcast and tell us about the world of customization.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I apologize that I'm half awake on your guys' show, just as I'm sure you can imagine, six-week-old baby at home. It's a different life.
Listen, when I had a 6-week-old baby, I wouldn't have been able to record this podcast on either side of the microphone. I would have been huddled in the corner crying as my colicky child was, you know, not sleeping. So
I've got an awesome wife. She said, "I'll take care of the baby while you're doing your show today."
Well, let you get back to that that baby and back to your workbench.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. Like I said, I love listening to you guys, and I'm excited to see what you guys come up with in the future.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.